Psalm 43, I suggest this was written when he was on the run from Absalom. And what he misses most of all is not being able to go to the sanctuary. So verse 3, O send out your light and your truth, let them lead me, let them bring me to your holy hill, to your great tent. Well, he's thinking of the hill of Zion and the sanctuary there. And he sees himself as Israel in the wilderness. He's in the wilderness, literally, when he's run away from Absalom. And he thinks that he, too, is going to be led by the cloud of fire and the Shekinah glory back to the hill of Zion and to the sanctuary. And yet, when he'd been on the run from Saul, he felt exactly the same, that he missed not being able to be at the sanctuary, whatever it was at the time, in Samuel's time. And yet he often says that he is under God's wings. It's as if he feels that he's actually right there on the mercy seat with the blood of the atonement beneath him and the cherubic wings and the Shekinah glory above him. So on the run from Saul, he realizes that all those religious structures that he had in his life were not actually necessary because he had the very presence of God wherever he was in the wilderness. But years later, when he's running away from Absalom, he still has this hankering to get back to the religious structure, to be led back to the holy hill, to your great tent. So although he sort of learned his lesson when he was on the run from Saul, yet when the test was repeated, as God often does repeat tests in our lives, he fails. He is desperately missing the sanctuary. And he says, verse 4, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Well, he is equating God with the altar of God. I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. So he's doing what a lot of people fail to do today. He's not separating God from, if you like, the church, from the religious structures. Now, Jonah had to be taught the same lesson. He thought that God was basically only operating within the land of Israel, and so he could get a boat to Tarshish and escape. But no, he was taught that God was present inside the whale of inside the belly of the whale or the big fish that God had created. God was in the seas that were associated with the nations, the Gentiles. God was there. And so we have to learn this lesson. So many people, when they encounter a problem with their religious structures, with their church, their denomination, they lose their faith. Or if someone might be, you know, a regular attender of a church, but then, oh, they get relocated by their employer to some other city, maybe another country, and their faith disappears. It may be that their church dwindles and closes down, and then, well, their faith goes down as well. It may be their denomination collapses, their local church collapses. It may be that they become aware of serious misbehavior, which disillusions them. And once the religious structure collapses, where is their faith? And you see with David, as I say, when he was on the run from Saul, he really did feel that, wow, I would love to be in the sanctuary, but I can't be. I am, however, under the cherubic wings. I am more than at the sanctuary. I am in the most holy place, here in the desert. But years later, when he's on the run from Absalom, he still is equating God with the altar of God. He still feels that, oh, I so miss Zion. I so miss the sanctuary. I want desperately to be there. Oh, God, lead me back there. It just shows the power of religion. It shows how deep within the human psyche is the tendency towards religion and external religious structures, rather than towards spirituality. Now, God recognizes that, and I think that that's why, in the lives, I believe, of all his children, he works very hard to try to separate these two things. It's why nearly everybody, probably actually everybody, who has said yes to Jesus and has been baptized into the Lord Jesus, I believe that all of us have passed through times of deep disillusion with the church and maybe removal from religious structures that we had come to know and love and be fond of. Well, that's why people will fight tooth and nail to keep the church going, to not sell the church hall to, you know, even if there's only sort of three people meeting in it, whatever, to keep it going to the bitter end, etc. Because of this love of the religious aspect of all this. But the essence is not that. The essence is that you and I are covered by the, as it were, the wings of the cherubim. We are there in the very presence of God. And we are with him and he is with us. And when you're in a good relationship, you can stand with your back to the world if necessary, and it's all the same. You've got her, or, you know, you've got him. And so it is above all things with God and the Lord Jesus. We've got them. You know, if the structure collapses around us, so it does. And all those things shall fade and pass away in any case, because that is time and tide. That is the way that history of denominations and local churches goes. It's all time and tide, and it arises and it subsides and whatever. But it is our relationship with the Father and Son, which absolutely are untouchable, which cannot at all be ever taken away. And so don't be surprised if God works in your life to remove your religious structures from you. It could be you get disfellowshipped for something you never did or some totally stupid reason. It could be that, whatever, as I say, that the church just dwindles into nothing. All sorts of ways God can do this in your life. It could be that you suddenly discover some major immorality or lack of ethics going on within the church leadership, whatever. So it might be. But all that is God's hand seeking to bring you to himself. And when people encounter those things and get disillusioned and apparently turn their back on God and on Jesus, well, did they ever really believe? That's the thing. Because you can get baptized effectively, de facto, into the organization, into the church. Of course, we all say, no, 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 baptism is into Jesus. We don't practice baptism into an organization. But de facto, that is how it is. It is seen often as a ticking of the boxes that, yep, I agree with your theology. All right, so get baptized and join us. All right. Well, no, it is fundamentally a connection between you and the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and a receipt of his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the power to be like Jesus, the Spirit of him, that can transform your inner man, as Paul says in Ephesians 3.